Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that your presence is felt by each and every person here today, that your Holy Spirit just speaks to us, guides us, and teaches us, that your word is made alive to us, and that we hear the message that we're about to receive today, and that we're open in our worship, and we serve one another, we love one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I've been thrown out of worse places. I'm thinking about things along the way where God spoke to me and changed my life. And last night, Char and I had a date night at home. Things have changed now. Things have changed. And our son had this recording of music that played at our 60th wedding anniversary, which is well past us. But anyway, and in the middle of all that was a song that you shouldn't sing in church, probably. I don't know. But God used it. God used it. And it was called Big Boss Man. And we lived in a divided culture, really. And my prayer is that we will have a multicultural church. And even people with white legs can come. Aha, you thought I'd forget that. But they played this song, and it goes this way. Big Boss Man, can't you hear me when I call? Big Boss Man, you ain't so big. You just tall, that's all. And this guy was a wild musician. I mean, he played a square guitar, I don't know. And we loved him. And part of it was in the 50s, there was still segregation. And us youngins, you youngins need to notice things. We noticed it, and so we were anything that was against the white culture, we were for. And so we listened to all this black music. And we were singing that song one day, and the big boss man, you know, you ain't so big, you're just tall, that's all. And it came to me like a lightning bolt. It said, you worked for the big boss man. I did. Yes, you're right, I did. I worked in the worst movie house in the town that I grew up in. And the boss there was a big boss man. And I saw him stare down a guy with a knife that he was throwing out. And the guy finally folded up the knife and left. And the same big boss man, I'm getting to the point here real quick. This big boss man called all, there was three of us that did a lot of the work in the movie house. And he called us all together and he said, it was a different time. Some of you people without gray hair would never understand this. But in the men's restroom, they just had a urinal trough.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I remember.
Well, guess what? Somebody had used that urinal trough that had loose bowels. And the big boss man said, I don't care who does it. But he said, that's going to be clean when you guys go home. And I thought, it ain't going to be me because I'm out of here as soon as you can't reach me. But this young guy, and this is what I'm talking about. The young guy just spoke up and said, I'll do it. And there was no fear in his voice. I just didn't understand anybody thinking like that at the time. And it was settled and he did it. And later on, I recognized that that was an act of love that God demonstrated before me to change my life. And after, it was the early 1950s, till now, I still remember that song, and I remember my big boss man and what this young guy did. So don't belittle acts of love that you show. Don't listen to that. That's not God, because acts of love are done on a line called eternity. And everything else is just dots. And so I had other things I was going to share, but God is funny with me. You know, he's fresh and alive every day. And I had some things again last Monday, and that's in the past. But I believe that this is a word the church, we need to hear and be encouraged. If you're showing anybody, Jesus raised the bar. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and bless them. And so it isn't just church and fun as usual. I mean, we're called to lay down our life every day for him. And that's the fun part, really. Jesus said, his word said, have this attitude, which is in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on a cross. And it says he despised the shame, and he did it for the joy that was set before him. And we need to keep our eyes on the prize. We need to, if we're off on other stuff, we need to get back on Jesus and serving him and doing what he wants. And you know, everything he asks us to do, he'll give us the grace to do it. Some things I've told him, I can't do that, Lord. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so let the church show love. Look for inventive ways to show love to one another. And believe me or not, the world will notice our love. And that's what they're looking for. I guess that's a good place to quit.
Well, anyways, in Sunday school, we were studying, talking about Deuteronomy 28 and the blessings. And there's lots of ifs in there. And it says, if you obey all my commandments, if you love me. And then Jesus said, there's only two commandments. It's to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love others. Then he added that we're to love our enemies. So what Ernie said, it's like we're supposed to show love. We'll show, if we love God and honor God, it's not just not time in the prayer closet and time praying and reading the word. It's showing other people love. So that's honoring God. That's blessing him more than you could ever bless him. So, that's all. Amen.
You know, there's this song that we used to sing, like, it was a while back. I remember we used to always have a hard time playing it. But it didn't matter to me because that song, I just loved it. But it talked about how it was just, it didn't matter what was happening, what was going on. Like, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. And that's the thing, is worship in our lives could be such a powerful thing. And by worship, I don't mean just like a band up here with people singing. Worship can be at home. It can be in the car. It can be when you're just walking around. You can be worshiping God. You know, one of the most powerful tools that I have learned, and that's, I think it's why I enjoy it so much when it's in songs, when it talks about like worshiping through the hard times. I think I enjoy it 10 times more because I've seen how it works in my life. Those moments when you don't want to worship at all, when you don't feel like going to church, when you don't feel like whatever it is, that's got you feeling low, I can tell you that choosing to worship in those moments is like breaking a wall. It really is. It does something so powerful in your life when you choose to do the opposite of what your emotions are telling you. See, it's powerful because it's really how we begin to learn to operate in the kingdom, right? It's always that he's going to give us something and he's going to show us something, and regardless of what's happening around us, we got to learn to stand upon the word he's given us. It's powerful in our lives. And see, that's the thing, is that a lot of times people will, they will get something from God and they'll have it and they'll get excited about it. But then as they start to move forward and things begin to happen, they let it go. But God doesn't want us to let go of things that he's given us. He wants us to hold them. He wants us to take them and move forward and stand on what he's given us and do what he's calling us to do. Because the rest, he's got it worked out. See, he doesn't put us in places and give us things and tell us things just to be like, okay, you're on your own. No, he moves us into areas, and when we can't even see what he's going to work out, he's working it in the background. He's setting it up. So it's a matter of staying, just like we heard all this morning, staying focused on who he is, what he has for us, and what he's doing. See, sometimes we complicate it more because we think we need to fit a mold, and this is how we have to do things, and this is where we have to go. Can I tell you that the prayer room in the closet is where it all starts to develop? See, it's like a domino effect in your life, right? As you spend time in that presence of God, just going after him, reading your word, praying, worshiping him, see, you'll begin to see things happen in your life that you didn't even realize sometimes. You'll begin to see things that used to be difficult for you just begin to release. You'll begin to see things that you thought you'd have a hard time moving away from just not even matter. And it's because as you go after him, you stay focused on him, those things just begin to, it's like a landscaper coming in and pulling the weeds, right? Like, it just begins to, he begins to clean it all up and purify it and refine it and give you all the things that you need. And then he begins to reveal things to you and place new things in there so that all the stuff that he cleaned out, he can fill with all of the stuff that he's wanting to give you. See, it's a transformation of who you are. Not by anything we do, but by what he's doing through us. See, that's what's powerful, is what he does through us.
Sometimes I'm a big chicken, so. But when that song was sung, I knew I needed to get up off of my seat and get up there. The Lord's given me so many poems that sometimes I have a hard time. I have a hard time choosing. And I showed Pastor one of my poems last week, and it was just like the message he gave, and I was like so embarrassed that I didn't read it. But this one is not that one today. This is a different one. This is about walking on water and keeping our eyes focused. I'm walking on water with Jesus. He knows my every need. He holds me up when I falter. He's my Savior, and in him I'm freed. When my eyes remain on him, I've no worry or no doubt. The winds and waves are troubled, but to Jesus I will shout. He reaches down to save me when I'm sinking into sorrow. He holds me close beside and whispers, "There's tomorrow." I'll walk on water with Jesus. I'll step over all my doubts. I can't do this on my own, but with my eyes on him and faith guiding my way, I'll trust in his love and know it's okay. I'm his child and he loves me. He comes after me when I call. He knows my very being and he guards my soul.
Praise God. Once again, Holy Spirit working. Along with all of that, he wants you to hear that everything you've been praying for, everything that you have been longing for, he knows the desires of your heart, and he is a faithful God. He is a God who answers prayers. And so as I was praising him, I heard him say, I am the Lion of Judah. And I am going to roar over my children, and all of their needs will be supplied unto them. They shall see my power. They shall see my might. For the word does it not say, not by might, but by power? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That's what he tells us in his word. And that's what he's saying right now. So take heart, my children, he says. Take heart. Walk with me and see what I have for you. For the plans I have for you are many. Receive them. Receive them. For I am the Lion of Judah, roaring over your needs. Amen.
So it'd be hard for me to find again, I think. So you'd have to see me scrolling through here. But, you know, one thing I was thinking about the 4th of July, right? And this thing is like, it's about freedom, right? But, you know, the greatest freedom we have is the freedom in Christ. And it's the thing that we should all focus on. Imagine if we could spread that kind of freedom. It's a freedom that so many people need. And here it is. It's this freedom where there might be something in our lives that's holding us back. Because of sin, or because of sin that we may have committed in the past, we don't feel like we're good enough. But the thing is you are good enough because Jesus makes you good enough. He makes you exactly who you're supposed to be. And in Galatians 5:1, it puts it this way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Yeah.
Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
That's the word. Come on.
So just remember, you're free. And you always will be because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. So I lift up my hands. Praise him again and again. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. I looked over across and when I looked at Abe, it looked like the light was on him. And I thought maybe it was his forehead, so I had to come over and look again, and it wasn't. And so, but I felt like the Lord was saying he's got something to share this morning. That it's for freedom that God, the Lord has died for us. He's died for us for freedom. He say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. 4th of July. You know how many know that it's a big holiday in the United States. Not so big in Japan. Can you say amen? Except that they make a lot of fireworks for us. Is that right? Come on. 4th of July, I was reading something the other day. I think it was 150 million hot dogs are eaten on 4th of July. Can you imagine? How many eat hot dogs? How many plan to eat hot dogs today? Anybody? No, come on, man. My grandson and granddaughter don't know, but I made them hot dog egg this morning, man. So we celebrate freedom. We celebrate Independence Day. And it's a good thing. Can you say amen? The founding fathers decided on the continental, that second continental, Congress, they decided they were going to, you know, they're going to, hey, let's sign this thing. We're going to separate from Great Britain. And every one of those guys put their necks on the line. Have you say amen? Because if Britain would have come over and wiped them out, those guys would have died. They would have been traitors. But what they were men that decided, hey, you know what? They felt God was leading them to make this declaration. And aren't you glad they did? Amen? Hallelujah. And, you know, I like Britain. I think it's great. Don't you? How many of you like Great Britain? Anybody from Great Britain? Yeah? Yeah? No? Okay. Well, no hard feelings. But the 4th of July is something that we celebrate. But, you know, more than that, like, what we need to be celebrating constantly every day. How many of you are glad that Jesus died for you? I'll tell you what. It's good to have that sense of freedom. I know that I wasn't free. I know that I was in bondage and chains. I didn't realize it was. I thought it was fun, what I was doing. But now I feel free. I feel that God has set me free. I feel freer than I was yesterday. Can you say amen? How many know that you should feel freer as you go? Is that right? Every day should be a freedom, more freedom. How many like blessings? Anybody like blessings? Nobody like blessings? If you like blessings, raise your hand. You know, yeah, there you go. Now most of you like blessings. And how many of you know that rain is a blessing? Do you know that? How many got rained on last night? Does anybody? Middle of the night, I could hear the rain falling. I go, oh, yeah, God. Come on, God. Keep blessing us. Amen? Hallelujah. I love rain. You know, I love to get up in the morning, and there's a big thunderhead right up there on in Madera Canyon. And it's rumbling, and oh, God. It reminds me of when God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're standing before the mountain, and they just... big cloud come over the mountain. There's a big fire up there on the mountain. How many know that God is a lot more than we can even imagine? Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And when they got up in the morning, man, they could hear what sounded like a trumpet blowing. Let's blow a trumpet just real quick. There was like a sound of a trumpet that woke them up. How many like alarm clock like that? Yeah, those are just like this. Yeah, come on. Amen. I tell you what, how would you like that for an alarm clock every morning? No snooze button on it? No, that is just bam. You're awake, your eyes are open, you're safe. But these guys got up that morning and they looked up, and God had prepared that mountain for them to see something they hadn't seen before. Can you say amen to that? I don't know, folks, we are in a time where we're going to start seeing things we've never seen before. Do you believe that? Because the kingdom of God is about to overtake the world, whether you believe it or not. The Bible says in Daniel, where Daniel was interpreting a dream, and part of the dream was, I saw a stone cut out of a mountain. Is that right? I saw a stone cut out of the mountain, and the king had dreamed a dream about this great big statue, and it had gold head, silver, all over, all the way down to mud and stones in its feet. And in the dream, he said, I saw a stone cut out of the mountain, and it hit that idol in the feet, and that stone became a great mountain. People, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom overtaking every kingdom that there is in this world. Can you say amen to that? Every nation, every eye shall bow. No, I'm sorry. Every knee shall bow. Every eye. Bow your eyes, folks. Now, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Is that right? Folks, you're in the kingdom. You are in this kingdom. You are participants in this kingdom. There is a prophetic, I don't know if I should get this word out, man. There's a prophetic voice in you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That's why we give you this mic, because there's a prophetic voice in every one of you that believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Do you say amen to that? There's a prophetic voice in you for you to strengthen and build up the body of Christ, never to tear down. Can you say amen to that? Never. We're not designed to tear each other down. Do you know that? Well, we do it all the time, Pastor. Yeah, well, we're not supposed to. Amen? We are designed to build one another up. Can you say amen to that? There's a prophetic voice within you. Start using it in the body. Start using it when you're here. But absolutely, wherever you're at, start using this prophetic voice that is within you. when you look at somebody, you kind of feel a bit of compassion. Have you ever felt compassion for somebody? You know, we were in Tucson yesterday, and we passed this young couple that were out on the side, and it was hot yesterday. And I thought, man, if my son wouldn't have, he had to catch a flight. But I was looking for him on the way back. Maybe we could give him a ride or something. But man, it was hot, I felt some compassion. How many of you know that compassion is a leader? Do you know that? Sometimes you look at somebody, you feel compassion. It's because God is leading you. God's leading you to say something, to be a prophetic voice in the life of somebody. Can you say amen? So tell him, hey, sometimes all you got to say, brother Randy, hey, God loves you, man. Yeah. Sometimes that's all it is. Amen. But we need to operate that way. Can you say amen? We need to learn to operate with the prophetic voice. What we hear God saying, we speak it. Can you say amen to that? Come on, hallelujah. It's independence time. Can you say amen? It's independence time. Some of you are afraid. They want to come up here, but you won't. You're a little afraid. You're a little shy. Here she comes now. See, I'm talking to somebody. Come on, man.
Let me get that. Okay. Last week we had such a beautiful service. We had a word. We had interpretation. I was out of here flying high, and I had to go to Safeway. So I thought, okay. I'm a little tired, so I'm going to get a cart, and I'm going to go in because I don't want to carry my stuff in. And as I'm walking along, I see this woman in a handicap spot, and she was struggling to get out of the car, and her husband was helping her. So the Lord said to me, give her your cart. I said, I can go get another one. So I walked over, and I gave it to her. And as she was walking in, I had my cart, and I'm walking behind her, and the Lord said, pray for her. So I went over, can I pray for you? She says, I just came out of church, and they prayed for me for a complete healing. I said, well, hallelujah, then in Jesus' name, I agree with you on that. And so we prayed, and then we started talking a little bit more.
That wasn't you. No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was God.
Yeah, it was. It was. Okay. And so, she says, where do you go to church? It's called the show, Sorry to Hustle Worship. And she says, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I think I'm going to try that sometime. She says, now, when you go up, can you go up for prayer? Yes. I said, absolutely. We have the Holy Spirit. He's working hard. And, you know, this is a good place to go. She asked me a few things. She prayed for my husband for salvation. And
come on.
I'm sure she's coming. So praise we don't God. Have to advertise in the newspaper
come on,
about this church.
That's right.
Because the Holy Spirit, if we follow him, he's going to spread the word and he's going to bring people.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Just when you sense, just be prophetic for somebody. Just speak to them. You never know what's going to happen. Terry goes up and speaks to people up in the mountains. Is that right, Terry? Come on, man. Just speak. Open your mouth. Be willing to open your mouth and speak. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm not talking about trying to get them to come to church here. Can you say amen to that? That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a ministry that's flowing out from this building into the community, giving them a hunger for God, for them to go wherever they feel like God has taken them to. Can you say amen to that? Too many years we've been worried about the numbers. Well, we've got to get more people in. How are we going to do that? Let's do some things that'll draw people in. You know what? Hallelujah. Let's let the Holy Spirit have his way. And I'm sure that's going to draw them in. Can you say amen to that? Because God has a way of drawing them in by his Spirit. There's been people that have come here and said, I was just passing by and I felt like I needed to stop in here. See, that's not advertising. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the Holy Ghost. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Can you say amen to that? How many of you believe in Him? How many of you believe that He is? He's God the Father, God the Son, God the... They're all in one. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Can't separate them. Ooh, hallelujah. I better start on my message because we... But I'm going to talk to you about independence. I remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Remember that? That was independence. That was an independence day for them. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And so, but problem is, that first song we sang, dancing on the, what, how's it say, dancing on the grave of the, what? How's that? How do those words go? Dancing on the... Wait a minute. Hey, goodbye yesterday. I'm living in the light of a new day. I won't waste another minute in my old ways, right? Praise the Lord. I've been born again. How many have been born again? Man, I love this. I really love this song. I really do. Every time we sing it, I hope everybody's getting this song. How you're dancing on the grave of your old ways. Can you say amen? Again and again and again, you rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Ooh, see, that God has given you a freedom to be free from that. We're going to talk about that old life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, if you will, turn to your Bibles to Psalm 105, I believe it is. Glory to God. Ernie, I'm going to get you to preach a message up here, bro. I can feel it coming. I can sense it. When you, every time you step up here, I say, come on, man. Let her rip, bro. Let her rip. Is that right? That's it, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Amen. All let her rip, man. But there's something about Brother Ernie, man. When he walks up, man, I can see him, man. I can feel the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 105. Let me get there, folks. I'm a little behind you. Glory to God. Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing today. God, today, there's nothing we can do about yesterday. And God, we're not in tomorrow yet. But today, Lord, your words say this is the day. Father, we rejoice. We are to rejoice in it and be glad. Father, we do that. Today is the day. Father, we know without a doubt that you have our lives in control. Though we might think sometimes they're out of control, Father, we know that you have our lives in control. Because our lives, we are in you, and you are in us. So, Father, we thank you for that fact, the truth of that, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts today with the Word of God, with your Word. Minister in the way that you desire to minister throughout this building and whoever hears this message online. We thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it. If you agree, look at your neighbor and say amen. Smile at him real big. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 105, it's a really neat psalm. And Psalm 106, it's kind of a tie into it, but I'm not going to do it today because we got some stuff to do in the back. How many of you like eating? I saw them hands go up. Yeah. Some folks don't mind it. I like to eat. Yeah. Some of you say, I don't want to tell anybody I like to eat, but man, I'm a racehorse when it comes to eating. Anybody a racehorse when it comes to eating? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. Is that a good word? That's a good word right there for us. Wherever you go, talk about him. Amen. Bring it. Strike up a conversation about what God has done for you, or what you've seen him do, or what you've heard him do. Sing to him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Can you say amen? How many seek the Lord? Rejoice because you seek the Lord. Amen. Let the heart of them rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Oh, ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. How many of you know you're a seed of Abraham? Do you know that? Do you know that? Are you sure? Are you confident that you're the seed of faith? Comes, man, when you believe in God, when you believe God, you're a seed of Abraham. Can you say amen? I like Ernie's testimony this morning. Hey, they ain't no black, they ain't no white, they ain't no, you know what? Not in God. Can you say amen? We are all members one of another. Jewish, Swedish, Mexican, African. We are all part of a body that is massive in this earth. Can you say amen to that? Puerto Rican. Good to have her back this morning. Yeah, praise God. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. I love this statement. Because whether you believe it or not, all his judgments are already here on this planet. Whatever you need, his judgments for your life, they're already here. They're already within you. So his judgments are all in the earth. But guess what? That's in you, his judgments. If everybody passed away, if God was to, like it says in Job, if God was to remove his spirit, everything would just dry up and fall over. His judgments wouldn't be in the earth anymore because they're held by men. Can you say amen to that? That his judgments are in the earth and they're within you. Isn't that cool? Oh yeah, that's a good word. Hallelujah. For he has remembered his covenant. How long? Forever. The word which he commanded to how many generations? 1,000 generations. That's a lot of generations. God, his word that he commanded to a lot. And folks, you're part of that. Can you say amen to that? You are a generation like no other. I'm going to say it like no other generation. The world has not seen a generation like the generation we're in right now. Can you say amen to that? God is opening and unveiling his word to anyone and everyone that will go after him. Don't expect him to show you any new things if you're not going after him. Don't expect to receive anything from pastor. Pastor don't have anything for you. The Holy Spirit has it for you. But you got to go after him. You got to be hungry. That's what changes the words that you hear into revelation within your life, because you're hungry for the word. You're not just showing up to church because, one of those good things to do, I guess. He's a good church-going person. Well, he never seeks God. What is that? What good is that? Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. How long is this covenant? It's an everlasting covenant. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from kingdom to another people. See, Abraham was just a small guy, but he was growing. God was blessing him, going from place to place. God promised him an inheritance. He promised him a place to his descendants, to those that believe in him. He promised. How many of you know you have an inheritance? And it's not just in heaven. That inheritance you have, it's on this earth. Can you say amen to you? Can you say amen? Amen. This inheritance we have is on this earth. It's on the earth. God gave the earth to man.
Amen.
And guess what? If you don't know God, maybe your inheritance isn't there. But if you get to know him, your inheritance will show up. He gave it to us to hold. It's an inheritance that lasts forever and ever. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, man. So we got to stay in the word. Don't believe me. Can I say that to you? Don't believe me. God gave you the earth. Yeah, Darren, God gave you the earth. It's yours. Not Ernie. God gave you the earth. It's yours. It belongs to you. It is a possession given by God to mankind. Hallelujah. Is that right?
Hallelujah.
Gave it to Adam. Adam blew it. But Jesus did not blow it. He paid the price to return the possession back to the people of God. Can you say amen to that? Anyone that would believe. Anyone that believed God. Hallelujah. So here it says, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yet, and he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed. Hallelujah. Do my prophets no harm. How many of you know your prophets? You've got to know this because the spirit of the prophet is within you. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How many know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Because Jesus dwells in you. Do you understand? Do you make the connection or don't you? Everything that God has given you is in Christ. Can you say amen? All right, well, that's okay. Think about it. Look at the Word. Go through the Word. Come back to me and talk to me if you don't believe it, what I'm telling you. Talk to me. We'll go through the Word together. But I pray that God will begin to reveal these truths in a mighty way to folks. Can you say amen to that? Folks, we got to be free. And the only thing that makes us free is truth.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yep.
Hallelujah. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. Here we come. We're getting to these to the history a little bit. He was talking about Abraham and Isaac just a minute ago, and now he's starting to talk about another young man named Joseph. He called for a famine in the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. In other words, they put him in jail. They hurt him. They accused him falsely. Do you remember that? Potiphar's wife accused him falsely, and they ended up putting him in jail until the time that his word came. Whose word? The Lord's word. The word of the Lord tested him, tried him. Can you say amen? Found him well able to do what God had performed, God had planned for him. Amen? The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, this jailbird. Amen. Made him ruler and ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and that was his dad, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people and to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen, and they showed his signs among them, and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled against his word. They rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed all their fish. Praise God. Is God mean? He's not a mean God, but he can do what he wants. Can you say amen to that? Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of the kings. He spoke, and there came different kinds of flies, lice in their coasts. How many like flies? I hate flies. Do you know what Beelzebub means? Lord of the flies. Do you know that's an oxymoron? You can't lord over flies. Can you say amen? There is no lord over flies. They do what they want. Is that right? They're not like a bee. Is that right? Bees have order. Is that right? They have specific jobs. You got drones, and you got workers. You got a queen. They protect the queen. They generally have a hive, a place for them all to live in. You see, it would seem like a fly is freer than a bee. Is that right? Because of B, who talked about doing things? Who was that that talked about? Somebody said something about maybe. Anyway, it came out this morning. I'm going to have to listen and find out who it was and then get you for not putting up your hand. Yeah. But I said, because I'll get you. Yeah. Well, no, I won't. No, but bees are structured. They actually have more freedom than flies because they are structured. They are structured. God has made. Isn't it crazy how God has lets us see certain things? Beelzebub. So the reason they talked about the flies, and I don't know why it caught my attention, but Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. You cannot lord flies. They don't have a queen. They don't have a king. They ain't got jack, if you will. They got nothing. They're just free. They fly around and bother folks. Is that right? They don't make anything nice. They don't do anything nice. As a matter of fact, they spread disease. Is that right? I don't know why I'm talking about flies. But we got flies this morning. If anything, you go to church, you go out and eat the restaurant. What'd your pastor talk about? Flies? Yeah, really? Yeah. Beelzebub, Lord of flies. Flies cannot be... They're not free. They seem like they're free, but they're not. They've got no order. Freedom needs order. Can you say amen to that? God brings us freedom. Can you say? Oh, God, hallelujah. I don't know. I'm getting a little more out of this Independence Day message than I thought I was, because I wasn't planning on flies. Bees produce honey. Something very nice, very sweet. All right? I don't like flies. How many say amen to that? Say, Lord, why did you make flies? So, Henry, so you could talk about them this morning. Okay, yes, sir. Yeah, okay, whatever. All right, so here we go. Where was I at? What verse was I on? Brother? Which one? 32. He gave them hail for rain and flame fire for... in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and he broke trees of their coasts. He spoke and the locusts came, caterpillars without number. And he did eat up all the herbs of the land and devoured the fruit of the ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. God's time. Here God is bringing out the children of Israel. After all these nasty things that were happening, Egypt, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not a feeble person among their tribes. Isn't that nice? Not one feeble person among all the tribes of Israel that came out of Egypt that day. Isn't that good? That's a good deal. Hallelujah. Somewhere else it says that their shoes never wore out. Is that cool? Yeah. Never got a hole in their boot. Egypt was glad. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for covering and gave fire to give and fire to give light in the night. Led him about with fire, pillar of fire. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and waters gushed out, and they ran in the dry places like a river. He remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Can you say amen? They come out, yeah, they came out happy. They had no idea where they were going. Is that right? They had no idea what was getting ready to happen to them, but oh, they came out happy. And he gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord. Can you say, I just wanted to read that because it talks about the freedom that God brought them. Is that right? Not only taking them out of Egypt, but bringing them into an inheritance. He brought them. He did that. There was a lot of stuff that happened in between. Can you say amen to that? There was a lot of complaining. There was a lot of getting God mad. Can you say amen? There was a lot of stuff that happened in between these sides, between getting them out of Egypt and getting them into their promised land. But it just goes to show us that you know what, even if they saw all these things happen, they thought they were free, but they weren't really free, were they? They couldn't get Egypt out of their heart. They kept saying, we need to go back. We had good food in Egypt. We had garlic. We had stuff like that in Egypt. So if you would turn over to Psalm 107, and let's look at these verses here. The Word of God says this, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron in asunder. I believe these are prophetic words, that whatever you're going through, whatever's troubling you, whatever might be hindering you, because God doesn't want any kind of hindering on you, that he wants you to know that he's already broken them. You just need to figure out how it happened. Can you say amen to that? You just need to figure out what he's done for you in the area that you're having trouble and struggling. Because I believe this is what God is talking about. There's people that are struggling with certain things in their lives, and they keep struggling and keep struggling. Well, guess what? God is a merciful God. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that just because, I told you this once, Henry, and you didn't get it, so you're done. That's not God. God is merciful. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He knows how difficult it is for you to get away from that thing that you've been doing. Can you say amen to that? He also knows how strong and how powerful the blood of Christ is for you. The blood that washes away all sin. Can you say amen? How many of you know it washed your sins away? It's a fact. It's the truth. It's a done deal. But not just up till today. But he has washed your sins. See, you were chosen before the foundation of the world, before you were even born. He saw you. He knew about you. And he picked you. Can you say amen? You were chosen by God. Amen? Chosen. God, I'm going to pick him. I'm going to pick her. They're going to do that. You were chosen by God even before you were even hit the planet. Can you say amen? So he knows everything that's going to happen in your life. So not just up to today, but everything that might proceed past today, he's already paid for it. Can you say amen? That's no reason to continue in whatever is troubling you. Do you understand that? That's no real, he paid for it, and he loves me, so I guess I can just keep doing what I'm not. No, that's not what it's about at all. What it's about is that you understand that he paid for you for a purpose, and he has something very much, very much dwelling within you that he wants to bring out of you for his glory and for his name. Can you say amen to that? He desires to show the world around you his glory, the beauty of the Lord, and of his holiness. Can you say amen to that? And people recognize it. Somebody said that this morning also. He has broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And what he's talking about is they're getting sick. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death, and then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. And what does he do? He saves them out of all their distresses. How many know that all means all? Is that right? He saves them out of all. And then he says this, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. See, I was on a destructive path. Very destructive. My mom recognized it. People around me recognized it. But my friends didn't recognize it. They were along with it. They thought it was cool. Let's go get drunk. All right, let's go. Yeah. Let's spend your paycheck. Yeah, all right, let's go. Well, it seemed funny. My wife and my mom knew I was on a destructive path. And God knew. Isn't that right? God knows all about it. God has a plan. And his plan is a good plan. And he will do what he needs to do to get you out. Isn't it? Can you say amen to that? Oh, he loves you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Yeah. You guys remember the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth? Zacharias was a priest in the temple, older guy. And he's in the temple and he's praying. And all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel shows up and tells him, hey, guess what? Elizabeth's going to have a kid, a baby. And he goes, what are you talking about, man? My wife, she's too old to have a baby. Hallelujah. So all of you young ladies, you still got hope. Amen? Yeah. All right. Leave it alone. Forget it. Says, yeah, but the angel says, Zachariah, since you didn't believe me, I'll tell you what. You're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. What? He spent a little extra time. So when he came out, they were trying to get him to say, what took you so long? And he all he could do was motion to him. So lo and behold, Elizabeth gets pregnant. Amen? And then she has a baby. And his name is what? What's Elizabeth's baby's name? Yeah, John the Baptist. Come on. It's okay, bro. John the Baptist. But when they're gathering together after she had the baby, and they said, what are you going to, they asked Elizabeth, what are you going to call the baby? Zacharias Jr.? He said, no, his name is John. John? There ain't nobody in your family named John. He said, his name is John. And they said, yeah, well, let's ask Zacharias what he thinks about John. And what do you want to have the baby named? And see, Gabriel told him the name was John. And so he asked for a tablet and he wrote John. And they were amazed. John, wow. And as soon as that happened, his tongue was loosed. Is that cool? And so I'm going to bring you into this part. It says right here in Luke chapter 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? I love the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How many love the Holy Ghost? If Jesus is in you, the Holy Ghost is in you. Can you say amen? If Jesus is in you, all the gifts are in you. Can you say amen? It's funny. A lot of us are taught that the gifts are separate. They're not separate. They is the Holy Spirit that has the gifts. So the Bible says that he distributes these gifts severally as he will. And they can be severally in your life as he will. Whatever he needs for you to do, for you to walk in the safe way and tell somebody, hey, prophesy to them or to tell them something about their history. Now, you know what? I told the Lord, I wish you'd give me, a word of knowledge for people, because this would shake people up. I saw what you were doing last night, bro. Wouldn't that? People go, what? Yeah, what? Yeah, that'll shake some people up. I said, Lord, give me something like that where I can say, I saw you get in the car and you drove down there and you got out there and you threw a rock at that guy's dog. I saw it happen, man. How'd you know that? Yeah, well, the Holy Ghost is on you, man. You better watch out. Now, wouldn't that be a neat gift? I think it would be. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit has all these gifts. And if you have the Holy Ghost, these gifts are in you. Amen. How many say amen? Look at the Word of God. It's very clear that the Spirit is the orchestrator of all these things. All right. So he said, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I don't think he said it like that. I think he got, when his tongue went loose, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Come on. Amen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Woo, man, I think he would jump around. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Oh. See, Zacharias went through something. Can you say amen to that? He had a testimony, and here he is prophesying. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. How many agree with that? From all your enemies. Is that right? Enemies, every one of them. That we be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Can you see what God's after? He wants us to be delivered out of the hands of our enemies that we might serve him without fear. Can you say amen to that? That's why I told you, get up here and get and prophetically talk to the body of Christ. Do it without fear. Amen. Come on, man. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Which days?
All
the days. All the days. Is that right? Come on, man. God's not messing around. Zechariah was prophesying. He has raised up a horn of salvation. Name was not John the Baptist. His name was Jesus. Jesus is coming. Zechariah's name, man. This man is my son. Is called to prepare the way for the one that's going to deliver us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I love it. Hallelujah. I hope you guys are getting some. I'm sure getting that. Anyway, John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Can you say amen? I mean, that's cool. You see, there's no other religion out there. There's no other religious arrangement. The only way to get to the Father, the creator of the universe, is through Jesus. The only way. There's nothing. And I'm not telling you guys anything. You guys know all this. But there are people out there, folks, that they need to know this. There's no other way, man. There's no other way. Yeah, but there's no other way. You better have Jesus or you're not on the way. You know, how many of you know there's a lot of people in the way? They're going the right, they're going on the way, but they're headed in the wrong direction. How many know that? They're in Christ, but they're heading the wrong direction. They don't know that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the one leading their lives. They haven't been taught that. They haven't been spoken that. Somebody hasn't actually got to them and said, hey, you know what? You know, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because what you're doing right now, brother, you're just following man. And you don't need to follow man. You need to follow what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. You need to follow what God has for you. Can you say amen? This is the place that we live. We live in him, nowhere else. Paul said it, and he goes, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. In him.
Amen.
Not in Pastor Henry. Not in Billy Graham. I'll just throw out some names. I don't know. Not in Stephen Furtick. Now, all these guys, no. We are independently dependent upon him. Hallelujah. You got to get that. We have to get that down deep within us. Hallelujah. That, you know, only God can convince me of what I need to be doing. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm just trying to speak what God wants me to speak. Pour out what God is saying to me. Because folks, people all over the world have been in this. How long have we had churches? How long has it been before? How many miracles are we seeing? How is it that we're not seeing all the things that God has? Jesus told us, you're going to do more works than me. Is that right? How is it we're not seeing it? Following men and not God. Got to be careful. Can you say amen to that? God knows your heart. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36 says that Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Continue my word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth
will make you free.
Shall make you free.
Amen.
Then it says, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. Yeah, but you're in bondage to yourself. Can you say amen to that? Folks, I'm going to tell you the biggest problem we have is ourselves. That's why we got to learn how to dance on the grave. Is that meant? Is that okay? The biggest problem we have is what we want to do, and we don't want God to have anything to say about it. But we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered this, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. See, Jesus came to break those things. The servant abides not in the house forever. I love this statement because God's been showing me some stuff about the house and the tabernacle. And that is too much for me to try to say today. But man, he's been showing me some really crazy things of some different ways of looking at things. And he says, the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, this is a very good scripture for you. Because it's telling you that some of you, that I'm not looking at anybody. That's why I don't look at anybody directly, except Ernie. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I don't want you to think that I'm talking to you or talking about you, you know, but you know in your own heart. I say, you know, folks, we are people that we have things that we have trouble with, and we keep going, we keep having that trouble because we keep going back to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But here, Jesus is telling us a fact. The servant abides not in the house forever. See, he's talking. He's saying something. I'm going to deliver you. I am going to deliver you. I'm going to take that that's calling you back and pull it out of you. And you're going to find that I'm going to bring a freedom to you like you've never had it before. Because I am taking that out of you. See there's some comfort in this scripture where he says, the servant abides not in the house forever because that servant is slave to sin. But God is saying, no, I'm going to take it out. And then he says, but the son abides forever. So if the son shall make you free, you will be free indeed. I say that's Independence Day right there.
Yes.
That's Independence Day. When God took alcohol out of my life, it wasn't I've been 36 days. Can I have my 40? I'm working on my 40-day chip. Mm-mm, nothing like that. That's the power of God said no more. Boom, and it was done. It was done. He took it from me. I gave it to him, and he took it. What would you want with that, God? He said, I'll tell you what I want. I'm going to throw it away. Can you say amen? He grabbed it. It wasn't anything I did. See, if I did it, then I could get the glory for it. Can you say amen to that? But I couldn't do it. I tried to release it. I tried, but I kept going back to it. Kept going back to it. See, I was a servant in my own house. I was under chains and bars and everything because I couldn't get released. But when Christ came in, the release came. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And that's what he'll do to all of us. He does that to us. He releases you from those things that are bothering you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We can't clean ourselves. I don't care how long you stay in the shower. Sometimes we just can't get that clean. Can I tell you, I don't know if you heard the scripture, but it says the pure in heart will see God. How many want to see God?
Amen.
Oh my God. Just to see you, Lord. Lord, purify my heart, Lord. Make me pure. Make my eyes so that they don't look on anything but what you have, Lord. I want to see you, Lord. I want to know you. We can't do it ourselves. He's got to do it. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. But be very, check out this is what he's saying. Without me, you can do nothing. You see, we're people who like to do things for Jesus, but some things he didn't tell you to do. Some things you need to wait before you go do it. And so some things are, and he says, well, you're on your own, bro. Can you say amen? No, you're not going to say amen to that? Yeah. Well, some things, I'll tell you why. He says, the same, He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Try not to do stuff without him. You say, Mel, if he hasn't called you to the mission field, don't go. Is that right? Wait for him to call you. Then pick up your stuff and go. And don't look back. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Last scripture is this, Titus 3, verse 3 through 6. I like it. You can't clean yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't clean yourself. You don't even know how to clean yourself. Can you say amen? We don't even know how to do it. Can you say amen? When it comes to the spiritual things that are within us that we know we got to get out, we don't even know how to do that. We don't know. But God will show us. He'll take you there. He says, man, because the Son abides forever. He abides in the house. That servant that's in there, he says, I'm going to eradicate that guy. I have pronounced a final notice on his dwelling in this, in your house. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And he says this, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Anybody be in this? Anybody remember this? That you were serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. You remember? Anybody remember that stuff? Yeah, I remember that stuff. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration. You see that? And the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. See all those things? The hate, the malice, the envy, all that junk? Some of us still have some of that stored in us. Is that all right? It's not really all right, but God knows about it. But he says there is a washing that, by the word of God, of regeneration that comes to you, and the Holy Spirit brings it. And you say, amen. He brings it. He's the only one that can. So I would say, spend some time with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Spend some time in your closet, pray in the Spirit. Walk down the street, pray in the Spirit. I'm going to ask you this again. When you get to your house, I know it's a little hot right now, but walk to the end of the block, pray in the Spirit, and walk to the other end of the block where your house is in the middle of the block. Walk to both ends and go home and go on in. And say, Lord, I just want to pray for my street. I just want to pray. I don't know everything going on, but I know you do. And I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to not only change you, but also those that are around you. Can you say amen to that? That dog that barks all night long, the Holy Ghost can take care of that. Can you say amen to that? God can make that a happy dog. Can you say amen? All because you're praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Holy Spirit and the Dairy Queen was closed. How many of you guys remember the Dairy Queen open? They used to serve hamburgers down there. I don't know what happened. They don't serve them yet, so I got to keep praying. But I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, oh, the gas station is closed up. We went over, laid hands on it. Man, we want a Dairy Queen. God, bring the Dairy Queen back. Resurrect that thing. Come on. Amen? Oh, and he did. We ain't got hamburgers yet, but he did. Amen? Come on, man. Pray your block. I was trying to pray by Safeway in the south sidewalk. Right along the gas station in there. I couldn't even walk through. There were so many trees. The trees were grown over. Tommy Garcia, our local House of Worship guy that works in town of Sarita that hears everything going on in there. He told me, he says, yeah, you know, it's because you're in the slum of Sarita. It's a slum. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? He says, no, they consider that area the slums. He's not going to tell you. I said, Tommy, man, it would be nice if they cut the trees over there, man, because I can't even walk on the sidewalk. And he goes, okay, yeah, all right, man. Maybe I'll say something to him. Well, next week I'm walking by there and the trees are all trimmed up real nice. Praise God. That Tommy got it done. I called him up and said, hey, Tommy, thank you, man. What are you talking about? And I said, no, thank you. They cut the trees. Oh, man, I forgot to tell him. Yeah, guess who? Guess who got it done? The Holy Ghost, man. That's why I tell you, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray your neighborhood. Pray, because part of the prophecy out of this house was this. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying rivers of living water to every part of the street, to the streets. Can you say amen to that? That's what I'm talking about. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Stand up. Let's pray. Let's go eat. How many say amen? We're gonna pray for the food. See, look at, I'm 12:01. 1 minute after 12. Lunchtime. All right, is that okay? Father, we thank you this morning for your word, God. God, Father, every one of us, Father, whatever's been received in the hearts of your people this morning, Father, strengthen and continue to speak to your people, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Let's pray for the food. Father, we thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.